It's Border Crossings with Larry London from VOA 1.
Hi, this is Larry London. We welcome you to Border Crossings. As we start off another week together, we've got a great program planned for you this hour. We welcome to our studios a singer-songwriter. She's lovely, and I'm sure you'll enjoy hearing music from her, Lights. We'll be here on today's program along with your requests and dedications. So get ready for another great Border Crossings program right here on the VOA 1 Music Network. It's Lights.
In the throes of the ruby red river that flows through this darkening concrete, devouring ghost afloat by, I'm with. Taking in whole, I've been struggling, strangling others in tow. Have my eyes gone missing?
Hi, I'm Larry London. Welcome to Border Crossings. We've got another great music talent in our studio. She is a multi-Juno Award winner from Canada who's traveled the world for her music, and she's lived abroad as well. We'll get into the story with Lights here in D.C., and welcome to Washington, to the Voice of America, Lights.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
That's an interesting name for a musician, Lights, and I understand it's your legal name.
It is. It is, yeah. It started as a nickname, years ago, and then when I started this music project on MySpace years
well,
a lifetime ago.
Yeah, MySpace.
I know. I started it with that name, mm-hmm. and then I'm not really one to go only halfway on something. And I think for me, it was like I don't want to be a different person on stage and off stage. I didn't want to have that conflict. I think that can be really hard after a while. So made it my legal first name.
And I was reading about your fans, and I guess that oftentimes they refer to them as the cult of lights.
There's a few different names. Some people like light bulbs. I think that one's not as cool, as catchy as they call themselves Lights Army. And I think mm-hmm. that's my favorite because they're a powerful force mm-hmm. for sure.
And so you've been writing and recording for a number of years now. I think I read 2010, you put out your first album, and it was inspired at the University of Waterloo?
Well, I don't know about that, but 2009, first record came out, and wrote a lot in, like, Niagara Falls area, mm-hmm. but first EP came out in 2008, so I've been doing it for a while, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've also got your latest album, which has won the Juno this past year for the best album?
Yeah, best pop album. Mm-hmm. For Canada, and that was amazing.
Juno's is a Canadian Grammy, huge, right?
Yeah, Cammy. I just came up with that.
So you're on tour right now in the U.S.
Yeah.
And you do a lot of touring for your music. I guess it's a nonstop business, touring.
Yeah. Especially since this record came out, which is a year ago now, last mm-hmm. fall. We've been on 3 major U.S. runs and a bunch of like fly dates and one-offs in between and festivals. So I feel like a lot of these cities we're playing on this run, we've already done once or twice on this record cycle. And it's pretty amazing. People are still coming out. I feel lucky for it every day.
Mm-hmm. And you're on the road with another band.
Yeah, we're doing a co-headliner with the Mowglies. And then
the Mowglies.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Wow. And your fans, describe your fans. I mean, when the people come out to see you, young people, college people, what's the age, what's the mix?
It's quite a mixed bag. And it's kind of been amazing because, I mean, like I said, my first EP came out in 2008. So I've had these fans that have stuck with me from the beginning, who maybe started listening to my music when they were in high school, mm-hmm. and now they're all in college, graduating college, and we've all kind of grown up together, and it's been this really surreal journey because I'm here, 7 years later, mm-hmm. seeing the same people in the crowd that were there when we were all kids, so it's pretty cool. So it's a mixed bag. I think people were gravitated to my music because we were all kind of misfits. Like, it was a place where people could connect. My forums used to be a place where people could really find similarities where they wouldn't find similarities in other people, mm-hmm. and so it seemed like it started out with a lot of people that didn't feel like they fit in anywhere else. So it's just like a mixed bag of like the coolest people you'll ever meet.
Mm-hmm. And what drew you into music? What was it that made you decide this was the career for you?
I think it's just something I've always loved. I mean, I grew up overseas and I used to get night terrors a lot, mm-hmm. and I was homeschooled as a result of traveling a lot, so music was always part of our curriculum, and my dad thought it was an important element of life, too, and I think it is. I can get more into that. But every night when I would get scared, he would play his acoustic guitar, and it kind of made everything all good. It made me less afraid, and it made me go to sleep no problem. And I think over time I really started to understand the value of something that can do that, that's powerful enough to change the way that you perceive a moment without even existing. Music doesn't actually exist. Mm-hmm. So I think I wanted to get into that, and I wanted to learn how to write and how to like harness that power for myself, because it's kind of like magic, you know. It's got it's like black magic. It's crazy.
It's interesting that it was therapeutic for you initially. Yeah. Now, for the benefit of our international audience who may not know what night terrors are, what is a night terror?
A night terror, I don't know. People that get scared at
nightmares.
Night. Yeah, nightmares.
They
sure.
catch up.
Sure. Yeah, I think it's just lots of kids have those where mm-hmm. you see things in the walls and those kind of things. And even if you don't have,
I have them now.
Right? I know. I still do in the bus. But, whether or not it became a career for me, music is such an important thing for young people, I think, because it has that power. And I was able to pour all of my emotional tumult into it as a young adult. Mm-hmm. Like every heartbreak and, flaky boyfriend and whatever it would have been, I poured that into music. And even now I write about all the things that I'm going through, and mm-hmm. I would probably have lost my mind a long time ago if I didn't have music to fall back on. So,
and now you have a flaky husband.
Yeah, he's definitely
not here. Who
proposed
to you
right
in a fortune cookie.
He did.
That's pretty amazing. That's an interesting story.
He actually had to have 50 of them made.
Wow.
Because he couldn't just
hoping
do one.
You'd open the right one.
Yeah. But we open one every year now, and it was a good time.
Oh, and
he's a tour musician as well.
A daughter.
Yeah.
Again, with a unique name, Rocky.
Yeah. Rocky's her nickname. Rocket. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's beautiful. Well, you got a family and you're on the road doing your thing, making music.
Yeah.
If you wouldn't mind doing a song for us now, I'd love to.
We're going to play a song called Same Sea, and this is actually about that that relationship where you're with someone who's never really there because you're always on opposite ends of the universe, it feels like. But I always liked the idea that you're still connected somehow. I always used to think, you know, when we lived over in the Philippines and I would be standing in the ocean, I was like, we're still in the same water as our family in Canada, because even though we're far away, everything's still connected. And that's what this song's about. It's called Same Sea.
Going the distance, every occasion headed for somewhere right of the way. Moving and shaking, heavy persuasion, keeping myself there, caught in the waves. Tread the water in the deep, just wait. Take a side again to opposite oceans, out of the hands of safety, from the shallows to the deepest thing, places we break and bend. You're the one in it with me, no matter how far we get. Oceans we are and still connect. And when the currents circle back again, they'll carry us with them to the arms of the same sea. Ooh, 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 ooh. Isn't it all just part of the nature, piece of the business, part of the view? Physical labor, human behavior, it's an illusion I'm passing through. No place to stand or set my feet, just waiting for the tides to meet. And when the currents take a side again, the opposite ocean, out of the hands of safety, from the shallows to the deepest thing, places we break and bend. You're the one in it with me, no matter how far we get. Oceans we are and still connect. And when the currents circle back again, they'll carry us with them to the arms of the same sea.
Lights is here on our live TV broadcast on Border Crossings, and on tour right now, Little Machines is the latest album, but you have a new album coming out.
Yeah, it's a spin on Little Machines. It's kind of a stripped-down, late-night, acoustic-y version of it. We brought in string quartets, and there's like six of the songs from the record that are the least that you'd expect be able to be stripped down like that. So I wanted to surprise fans with that a little bit. And two unreleased, actually.
And that's coming out in...
It's not an unconfirmed date yet, but it's coming.
Early 2016.
Yeah, early 2016, for
sure. And names? You're tossing around names?
This is the first time I'm going to be talking about it, but it's...
The first time?
Yeah, it's called Midnight Machines.
Midnight Machines. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
So all of our fans who are tuned in right now, You got the scoop?
Yeah. Yeah, you do. You're the first.
You're the first. And so you'll be adding some other songs to the album as well. Can you tell us about the new songs that you're putting on the album?
Yeah, there's a couple ones that no one's heard before. Actually, there was a clip of one of them on iZombie, if anybody watches that show. It's a small little clip there to give people a taste. But otherwise, yeah, no one's ever heard of these songs before. But one of them is actually one of my favorite songs I've ever written, I think. It's called Follow You Down. And I'm excited to share it.
Where do you find the most joy in this business? Is it the songwriting? Is it the singing, the recording, the performing live? Where do you get the most fun?
That's a good question. I think I go through phases. Like when I'm not on the road, I just want to be on the road because being on the road is incredible. Every night, what makes the experience unique is the people that come to the shows and the intimacy that you get from them and the different vibes you get from them. So that's addictive, you know. That I love that a lot. It's really fulfilling. But you do need to also keep exercising the things that you need to get out of your head, and that's the music creation process and all the millions of voice memos and notes that I have in my phone. You just need to turn into something, because otherwise you're just unfinished ideas, and that makes somebody go crazy. So I get a lot of joy out of writing and producing too. It's equal. It comes in phases.
Do you ever go through writer's block, and what do you do to get yourself out of it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think writer's block is just self-doubt that's creeping up, and all the things you worry about just start to compact on themselves, and suddenly you don't know how to write anymore, and it feels like it's over. I was dealing with that a lot when I was writing Little Machines. In fact, it took me a year longer to make that record than any of my other records. And I think it was just a lot of like arbitrary pressures that I put on myself, expectations for a third record, you know, kind of thing. And what I did was just kind of took the pressure off music. I just said, okay, I'm going to work on different facets of my creativity, and did poetry. I made myself write a poem every night, and some of them are horrible, but actually some of them turn into some of the songs you hear on the record. It's just verbal diarrhea, but it helps. It really does. I highly recommend just writing it out.
Start the process.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
It gets it started.
Yeah, and I did a lot of painting, just different things that exercise your creativity. It's all coming from the same muscle, I think. It's just avoiding the one that really frustrates you. And eventually it'll come back. I mean, talent never disappears. It just goes into hiding sometimes.
And I read where, and this may or may not be true, but it's the article I read said you started off with a metal band.
Yeah, I was in a metal band when I was
So how did that evolve to where you are today? And what would you say is the sound that you have today?
Well, the metal band I was in high school. And we were called Shovel Face. Very bad.
Shovel Face.
Yeah,
there you
very
go.
Horrible band. We just wrote, it was very like very much a thing to get like our aggression out. Like we had a song called Kill Everyone You Know, which was probably
nice happy birthday song.
Yeah. We were a horrible band. I think we got banned from playing at our school.
Right.
Those kind of things. But that's what metal bands want, I guess. I think for me it was just an opportunity to try every genre of music, and I did try all kinds of genres till I stumbled upon the one that I felt most comfortable in, and is the one I do now.
And what would you call it? If it were
electro,
to have a name.
Electro boss fairy pop.
All
that's
right.
What I call it.
That's the new format. Lights format.
Yeah.
Now, this is a good time to be an artist from Canada. I mean, everyone is from Canada right now.
There's a lot of good
Drake
talent in Canada.
And The Weeknd and Shawn Mendes, and you go down the chart, everybody's from Canada.
Yeah, it's amazing.
There's a lot of great people coming over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's like everywhere you look, there's talent. I think, I don't know, in Canada, there's a lot of a great support system for artists. Like, we get grants and tour grants and grants to make records if we need to. So I think and plus we have CanCon laws, which enforces 30% of what gets played to be Canadian. So I think it's easy to be a Canadian artist and be unique instead of feeling like you have to claw your way to the top, sound like everybody else, you know?
Right. And there's so much more to you than just your music. As we were talking before, you know, you've been involved with some different charity organizations.
Yeah.
And I know you've done some cancer charity stuff and with World Health Organization as well.
Yeah. I've done a few things. That I was the Pinktober Ambassador 2014 for Hard Rock, and that was incredible, just raising awareness on breast cancer and raising funds for research. And another major thing I'm involved with is World Vision. I take World Vision out of my Canadian tours, and actually on our last tour we sponsored almost 100 kids from the Philippines from the same village. The goal is to go back and check out the difference that was made in that village. But really important place for me, obviously, because I grew up there and saw firsthand what people are experiencing. Best solution, I think, is just giving the kids an opportunity to make something of themselves. And another great organization I'm involved in is Music Counts. That's, I was talking about the importance of music in youth and mm-hmm. the ability to like have access to instruments and just get out all that angst and put it somewhere. If my dad was a musician growing up, I wouldn't have had any access to instruments. I didn't have any music programs in my school. I think it's the first thing that gets cut when there's when the budget's tight. So, yeah, Music Counts makes sure everybody has access to that.
Knowing what you know about the business, are you going to encourage Rocket to go into a music if she shows any interest in it?
Yeah, hell yeah. If she wants to do anything, mm-hmm. I will support. I mean, my parents let me chase my dreams naively at times, you know, and I think that was what allowed me to do the things that I loved. I think everything is possible mm-hmm. as long as you really believe it.
Mm-hmm. And it must have been hard for your parents because they're missionaries. So to decide this was the job that you wanted to pursue.
Well, my dad's a musician. He was like living vicariously through my career every step of the way.
That's great. Well, yeah. If you can get support, that's good.
Exactly.
So what was it like living in the Philippines? Where did you live?
We lived right down, like down in Manila in Quezon City. And
been to the Metro Mall myself.
Yeah, no way.
Yes.
That's amazing. Mega Mall.
Makati.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. I think it opened my eyes to a lot of things that not only young people, a lot of people never see in their lives. And, you know, it's hard to look outside of the comfort and the privilege that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
And to go to another country where people don't necessarily have that. But at the same time, everybody's so generous and amazing. I mean, they won't have much, but they'll give it all to you. They'll put food on your table,
right.
And it's amazing. I mean, I've learned so much from the Philippines, and
people are always happy.
Yeah, super happy.
And Valentine's Day lasts a month in the Philippines.
Yeah, right.
Everybody's smiling. Do you speak Tagalog?
I only know a few words.
If I say kumustaka.
Yeah, mabuti naman.
Yeah, see, she does know. All right,
yeah,
good.
Absolutely. Hi, Naku, Makita. Oh my.
There goes your microphone.
My mic again. But yeah, I absolutely love. I love visiting there. I love communicating with Filipino fans online. It's just like, I can't wait to play there someday. I still haven't.
Well, they're all tuned in. I know that there's a lot of people in the Philippines and in Hong Kong and in Kuwait.
That's amazing.
From the Philippines who are listening
and
big
now.
Fans of the Voice of America and
oh,
of this program.
Awesome.
So I'm sure they're excited to hear you on the program and especially hear you talking about the Philippines. Could you do another song for us?
Yeah, I think so. This next song is, you know, we were talking about writer's block and experiencing that feeling that everything is at the bottom. I think everybody kind of gets to that point at one time or another, and this song came out of that time, and it took me about a month to finish the song. I was trying to tell myself that things only get better from here. The song was really not coming together, and finally I like finished it, put it away, was working on another song, and sat in the bathtub, glass of wine, put my recording rig around the bathtub, was like working on this other song and kept going back to it. And then like in this eureka moment, this song completely evolved and came to me in that moment. I stood up in the tub and recorded it, and this song actually pulled me out of that point of zero inspiration and did what it's about. This is called Up We Go.
Here, in a familiar place, we got our heads down, and then we pretend it's 'cause the night is dark, and running out of space, for us to run around, but it's a day. Everyone here is ready to go. It's been a hard year, nothing to show from down this road. It's only on we go, on we go. Everyone here is ready to go. It's been a hard year, I only know from down this low. It's only up we go, up we go. Get on another flight, maybe set out to sea. Kick it up and shake off this attic, 'cause death is harder to come by than it is to breathe. When you gotta make a break for it, 'cause it's been a long time of this.
ready to go. It's been a hardship, nothing to show from down this road. It's only on we go, everyone here is ready to go. It's been a hardship, I only know from down this low. It's only up we go, nothing gives easy. Easy gives nothing. I'm just trying to keep it calm, coming at dawn. It's bound to break when the night is done. Always darker days before brighter ones. Oh, oh. Everyone is ready to go. It's been a hardship. Nothing to show from down this road. It's only on we go, everyone here is ready to go. It's been a hardship, I only know from down this low. It's only up we go
Great. Lights here on the Border Crossings. Up we go. How did you go from the bathtub to having two wrestlers alongside of you for that song? What's going on with the song?
Oh, I know. That video is insane. I think for me, when I went to the director, I was just like, okay, I want a one-take video because we've done one before. I know we can do it. You know, let's do a one-take video with lots of chaos. You take it from here. And like when he brought the treatment back, it was like so much crazy stuff happening. And it was amazing, and I was like, if you can make this work, that would be incredible. And it took 14 hours to get a three-minute video, but it was all one take, and it was tons of moving parts. I mean, there were people opening the elevator doors. Mm-hmm. There was the wrestlers coming in, the band coming in and out. We had 20 fans come in for 20 seconds. We had just a million moving parts, and I can't believe we made it work, but it was quite a feat. If anyone hasn't seen it, you got to go watch.
How many videos have you had out? I imagine a number of videos.
Oh, a lot, man. I must have like 10. Actually, I've never counted.
Wow.
I've never counted. There's somebody look online and tell me how many videos I have.
And you've gone from, you know, you started off, you were supposed to start off with Sony initially a long time ago. That was one of the early things that it was supposed to happen. I don't know if it ever did happen, but you ended up as an indie who has earned a lot of awards as an indie artist.
Well, what happened was I was signed to a development deal when I was 15. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was as the music industry was evolving, as it usually is. And you know, when Sony merged with another label, you know, we kind of lost our champions there. So that development deal fell through, but I was signed publishing. So I ended up getting signed to a publishing deal when I was 17. And I was writing for TV shows and all kinds of different things, but all the while keeping the best songs for myself. And then got picked up by Warner a couple years later, and I've been with Warner ever since, although there was one record cycle I released independently. But otherwise, I'm not indie anymore. But.
And you've done the Lilith Fair, you know, show.
Yeah.
You've done a lot of different larger festival-type shows and the smaller clubs as well. Do you have a preference?
I mean, we played Coachella this year on my birthday. It's really hard to beat that. That was amazing. So that's got a vibe. I mean, we're, you know, in front of thousands of people who are probably kind of high. Mm-hmm. And there's chandeliers and palm trees behind us. Like, those moments, those outdoor festivals are really hard to beat for that kind of a vibe. But, I mean, when you come to one of these shows, like, that we're doing on this tour, to a club show, we have our full lighting rig. Everything is, like, completely catered to the moment of the song. And there's something really unbeatable about that. So they're two very different vibes. And when you're in festival season, you kind of just want to do the outdoor ones. And right now, you can't beat coming to a show because it's pretty amazing.
Now, do you tour around the world, you typically?
We've toured mostly North America and Europe and UK. Mm-hmm. We haven't really gone anywhere outside of that yet.
Did you live in Jamaica?
We were there for about 5 months when I was growing up.
Wow. Yeah, what part of Jamaica?
It was like the interior near Brownstown. Mm-hmm. Beautiful, beautiful country.
And I imagine that has all influenced your writing. There's been songs
that
have come out
record
of.
I put out.
right. You're Rastafarian. Lights Rastafarian.
Exactly. I get asked a lot if the musical culture of where I lived influenced my music. And I don't know. I mean, I wasn't actively listening to music, I guess, when I was that young. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, just kids' music, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. or whatever I was around, and worship music being on the mission field. But that was one thing that really influenced me a lot. I mean, the idea with worship music is you know the song by the second chorus. That's pop music.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot about that. Something anthemic, something simple, and something heartfelt that means a lot. That's always what music's been about for me.
Mm.
So, I mean, I think that the experience of traveling and being in those environments really did influence how I create.
Has your writing changed now that you're a mom?
I'm more inspired, actually, mm-hmm. than I ever have been. I've been writing a ton. And I mean, I'm not writing about parenthood or anything like that. I tried, and it didn't turn out very well. But I think I'm less worried about everything.
Mm-hmm.
When you become a mother, I guess you reprioritize the things you invest your emotions into, mm-hmm. because you only have so much time in a day. So I don't get all worked up about the little things, and I don't get so paranoid. And, you know, if my music career fails today, I've still got something amazing,
mm-hmm.
and I have this beautiful family. And so I think it allows for this freedom that you need in order to be creative.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get too cornered, or else you just write crap.
Yeah, well, I like your sound.
Thank you.
I really like your sound. I'm excited about the new album.
Yeah, I mean, this is a bit more like what the acoustic album will be than, mm-hmm. than the full record. The full record's got, you know,
the band,
tons of analog synths and like live drums and guitar, mm-hmm. like electric guitar. It's beautifully put together.
So what else does 2016 hold for you? I mean, the new album comes out. Any other secrets? Any world tours?
We're doing the only tour we have confirmed at this point is the Parahoy Cruise, which mm-hmm. is going to be amazing. Paramore puts on this cruise every year, and it's just going to be like a bunch of music and fun on a mm-hmm. boat with a bunch of good friends, ex-ambassadors and churches and Newfound Glory and Paramore. It's going to be really fun. And I mean, I'm not a big fan of boats, but I will.
You get your patch.
I'll get over that, and then hopefully another trip to the UK. Actually, following that.
All right. Well, we're happy to have you in our studio, and congratulations on all the success. Could you do another song?
Yeah, I got one more for you. This is called Muscle Memory. This is about somebody who's really close to you and around you all the time, being gone. I'm used to being away from my loved ones, so you kind of see a ghost of them, and kind of your reflex is to have them there all the time. So yeah, this is called Muscle Memory.
Having spent the finest year waiting for the next time I can get you close, I grew used to being back here like a chorus in rhyme, soldier at his post. You call and I respond, the sparrow in the song. I miss you when you're gone. When I am alone, I see you in the dark. I duck into the empty like you were with me. Started on a cold night, felt you in the low light. Noticing my reflex taking over me. I see you when I reach. Muscle memory. To the next fall, I am on the back steps trying to let you in. See you standing in the front hall. Maybe this is madness underneath my skin. Guess love is our response to the body it haunts, and we do what it wants. When I am alone, see you dark, I duck into the empty like you were with me. Started on a cold night, felt you in the low light. Noticing my reflex taking over me. I see you when I reach. Muscle memory. I feel you. Muscle memory. When I feel the chains of a thousand words, and I speak your name like I know you heard. I can feel you here, I can feel you move, and it moves me too. Sitting next to mine, I can feel you there when you're not.
to the empty like you were with me. Started on a cold night, noticing a reflex taking over me. I see you when I reach. Muscle memory. I feel you when I sleep. Muscle memory.
Gorgeous.
Thank you.
Very, very nice. Lights is our guest. Little Machines is the latest album. Of course, the new one coming out in March. And for all the light bulbs around the world, make sure you get a copy. Where can people reach out to you, your social media sites and whatnot?
All the social meds is just lights. Twitter.com/lights, Facebook.com/lights, Instagram.com/lights.
All right. Well, would you put a shout out to all your fans that you were here?
Yeah.
So they can find you.
Hey, come to the shows. Mm-hmm. We'll have lots more touring coming. Hopefully we'll make it overseas to the people that are in the far reaches of the universe listening to this. And love you guys so much. And, yeah, all the details, all the tour dates are iamlights.com.
All right. Thank you, Lights.
Thank you.
It's Border Crossing on VOA1.
Shake the ground. You held me down, but I got.
Thank you very much for joining us on Border Crossings. We checked out Katy Perry and a song called Roar, and this came in to us by request from Kenyi Justine Lillian, who writes in to say, I'm from South Sudan, from the capital, Juba, and I want to hear the Katy Perry song Roar here on Border Crossings for my brother Edward Golian in Kajo, KG, also Saidu Muhammad Ali, and to all the fans of football around the world, with lots of love for everybody. Well, thank you, Kenyi, for requesting that song on our Facebook page. You can go to facebook.com/VOA Larry London and make your request and leave a comment if you have any you'd like to share with us as well. Making our way through the requests and dedications, Sammy Nas wrote in, and Sammy is in Ethiopia listening to Shagger FM 102.1 and asked me for a request for all of Sammy's friends who might be in Ethiopia and elsewhere, I assume. This is by The Weeknd, whose real name is Abel Tesfaye, and he has roots in Ethiopia. And this song is called Earned It. It is a song that is nominated for an Oscar for the film Furious 7, which starred Paul Walker, who died in a tragic car accident. So this song, Earned It, by request for Sammy and for everybody in Ethiopia tuned in to Border Crossings.
It's magic.
Oh, yeah.
'Cause I see nobody but you. I'm never confused. Hey, I'm so used to being used. So I love when you're all unexpected. 'Cause I hate when the moment's expected. Mind. We live in our lies. Hey, you're my favorite kind of night.
On VOA1's Border Crossings.
You're the light, you're the night, you're the color of my blood. You're the cure, you're the pain, you're the only thing I wanna touch. Never knew that it could mean so much, so much. You're the fear, I don't care, 'cause I've never been so high. Follow me through the dark, let me take you past our satellite. You can see the world you brought to life, to life. So love me like you do, la la, love me like you do, love me like you do. Touch me like you do, ta ta, touch me like you do. What are you waiting for? Fading in, fading out, on the edge of paradise. Every inch of your skin is a holy grail I've gotta find. Only you can set my heart on fire.
Neombo Jacob, and thank you for your request, Neombo, who listens to us in Nigeria. That is a request for Ellie Goulding, Love Me Like You Do. And Neombo says, dedicate that to my brother, Gbeken Gideon, and Neombo Peter. And we're all in Nigeria, and we love your show, and I love you back, and I thank you for listening. Don't forget, starting in February, which is about a week away, we're going to be giving away the Now 57 CD, which is filled with some of today's biggest hits and biggest stars. If you want to win that CD, all you have to do is tune in. Make sure you're listening starting February so you can win a copy of the Now 57 CD every day throughout the month of February. We have time for one more request, Bobby Brown, and it's a request from Feliz, who's in Ghana. This is called Ronnie here on Border Crossings.
She's
Well, I thank you so much for listening to our show. We had a great time on this Monday, digging our way out of the big snowfall that fell over the weekend in Washington, D.C. If you have a request or dedication you'd like to make on a program in the future, you can email bordercrossings@voa.gov. You can go to twitter.com and send a tweet to BCVOA or, of course, facebook.com/VOA Larry London. One word, VOA Larry London. That's our Facebook page, and you can put your request right there for us in the message section. Love to hear from all of our listeners all around the world who join us on Facebook. We should be back tomorrow with a full show of requests. And again, I also want to thank Lights for coming in and being on the program today and performing new music from her new album. My name is Larry London. Thank you, Vince, our producer-director, and Felicia Butler, also producer-director. I will see you again tomorrow at 1500 Universal. Border Crossings is heard exclusively on the VOA1 Music Network.